confidence today. Thank you, Joshua, for leading us in singing those things. Messages of hope. Turn in your Bibles to John chapter 10, verses 1 to 10. While you're turning, let me say, this is not an enjoyable series to preach. And you're probably thinking, well, it's not an enjoyable series to bear up under. Okay, well, I'm doing this because I really believe we need to understand what's happening around us. We need to be like the sons and daughters of Issachar, who the scripture tells us they were able to discern the times in which they lived. They were wise. And in discerning the times in which they lived, they then knew what, as the people of God, they ought to do and be. And that's really why I'm preaching this. It's not political, though it deals with issues that in our culture take on the appearance of politics. It is moral. It is spiritual. It is theological. It has eternal implications. John chapter 10, verses 1 to 10, if you'll stand with me, if you found that in your Bibles, if you don't have a Bible, we're going to put the text on the screen for you. As we're thinking today, looking a little more at Antifa, particularly their own words, and then a gospel response to them from this passage, John 10, 1 to 10. Follow along as I read. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus again said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. What have we read together this morning? The inerrant, infallible, all-sufficient Word of God. And I pray that we will see more clearly and more clearly that there are two ways set before us. There is the way that the world is saying come, and it is a way of theft and death and destruction. And there is a way that leads to life, life abundant now and in the age to come. Thank you. Please be seated. Well, we've looked by this time at what classical Marxism is. We've seen how that has morphed in our culture to cultural Marxism, manifesting itself in critical race theory, intersectionality, and then we're looking at Antifa, which is an anarchist group. Behind all of this is a God-hating, devil-inspired worldview. It includes socialism and communism. And so I'll never forget the day. It's amazing. You would think, as a seven-year-old child, how would I remember it? I just turned 7 years old 2 weeks before. I was watching on the news with my parents, this kind of pudgy, balding man. He was speaking before the United Nations, and he grabbed his shoe and began to pound on the platform with his shoe. My parents explained to me that that was Nikita Khrushchev. He was the premier of the Soviet Union. Here's what he said to the United Nations, September the 29th, 1959. Your children's children will live under communism. You Americans are so gullible. No, you won't accept communism outright, but we will keep feeding you small doses of socialism until you will finally wake up and find you already have communism. We will not have to fight you. We will so weaken your economy until you will fall like overripe fruit into our hands. The democracy will cease to exist. when you take away from those who are willing to work and give to those who would not. He warned us. He mocked us 61 years ago. How do you create a socialist state? Because that's what Antifa is after. Well, there are 8 levels of control. I told you previously in this series, the 45 goals of communism read into the congressional record. Here are the 8 levels of control, just real quickly. First, health care. Control health care and you control the people. Second, poverty. Increase the poverty level as high as possible. Poor people are easier to control and will not fight back if you're providing everything for them. Third, debt. Increase the debt to an unsustainable level. That way you're able to increase taxes, and this will produce more poverty. Fourth, gun control. Remove the ability to defend themselves from the government. That way you are able to create a police state. Fifth, welfare. Take control of every aspect, food, housing, income, of their lives, because that will make them fully dependent on the government. Sixth, education. Take control of what people read, listen to, and take control of what children learn in school. Seven, religion. Remove the belief in God from the government and schools because the people need to believe in only the government, knowing what is best for the people. Eight, class warfare. Divide the people into the wealthy and the poor. Sound familiar? Eliminate the middle class. This will cause more discontent, and it will be easier to tax the rich with the support of the poor. We're almost there. We're almost there. Fear not, because the gospel will win this. It may not look like we want it to look, but the gospel will win this. I told you last week that almost all those who align with Antifa are from the extreme political left, usually identifying as communists, socialists, or anarchists. I don't think I spoke last week to the Black Bloc, BLACKBLOC, Black Bloc. Just real quickly, that's what you're seeing when you watch on the news, dressed all in black with masks. It's a position of anonymity to hide behind the mask to keep from being arrested, keep from being held accountable for the stealing, killing, and destroying that is the hallmark of Antifa. They collect together in autonomous affinity groups. There'll be a leader, and people will come gather around him or her. And typically what you'll see happen, by the way, is when the leader, the more extreme the leader gets in their riots and their pillaging, then the people in his affinity group will follow in that regard. I told you last week that Antifa is an anarchist movement. They oppose the government and other authority structures because such things interfere with their notion of the individual's freedom of choice. They had no intention of building anything. Their only agenda is to tear everything down to the ground. Dozens of armed anti-fascist groups have emerged, including Redneck Revolt, Red Guards. They're just on and on and on. They cover all the way from New Jersey out to San Francisco and Seattle. And they're proliferating. I told you last week, Antifa's stated long-term objective, both in America and abroad, is to establish a communist world order. When a political candidate for president tells you Antifa is an idea, he is either ignorant or ill-informed, but in either case, not equipped to be the leader of the free world. Antifa is a movement, been going on since the 1920s, resurfacing again in America in the 70s and 80s. In the United States, Antifa's immediate aim is to bring about the demise of the Trump administration. Understand why? Because for them, President Trump, whether you like him or not, represents the epitome of capitalism. And they hate capitalism. Capitalism stands in the way of the advance of Marxism. The academics and the news media would tell you that Antifa is a vaguely defined protest movement that lacks a centralized structure. Evidence suggests, however, from the Department of Justice, that Antifa is in fact a highly networked, well-funded organization that has a global presence. The Department of Justice says that. Their tactics, when you watch them on TV and you see how they taunt and they taunt, they get up in the face of people, particularly the authorities. If you've seen them get up in the face of policemen and policewomen, their tactic is to goad the police into a reaction, which then proves their claim that the government is fascist. That's what they're doing, acting the way they are. And for them, the fight against fascism is only won when the capitalist system has been shattered and a classless society has been achieved. I told you last week that though they style themselves as Antifa, anti-fascist, they are, by their very structure and function, ultimate fascists. They hate liberty, peace, and prosperity and see them as standing in the way of advancing a socialist, communist agenda. Listen to this statement from one of their groups. The guy in uniform is a pig, not a human being. I'm talking about the police. That means we don't have to talk to him, and it's wrong to talk to these people at all. And of course, you can shoot. The first so-called anti-fascist group in the United States, by the way, was the American League Against War and Fascism. Listen to that. The American League Against War and Fascism, established in 1933 by the Communist Party USA. They claimed to oppose fascism in Europe back then, but they were actually dedicated to subverting and overthrowing the United States government. One of their leaders, their leader Manning Johnson, said in 1953 before a congressional investigation, quote, "The Communist Party has instructed us in America to act as a cover to attack our government, our social system, our leaders, used as a cover to attack our law enforcement agencies and to build up mass hate against them, used as a cover to undermine national security, used as a cover to defend communists, the sworn enemies of our great heritage, used as a cover for preparing millions of people ideologically and organizationally for the overthrow of the United States government." That's a part of the congressional record. I want you to hear now for the next few minutes before we look at a gospel response, Antifa in their own words. In the Anti-Fascist Handbook, written by Mark Bray, quote, "The only long-term solution to the fascist menace," that's us, "is to undermine its pillars of strength in society, grounded not only in white supremacy, but also in ableism, heteronormativity, patriarchy, nationalism, transphobia, class rule, and many others. This long-term goal points to the tensions that exist in defining anti-fascism, because at a certain point, destroying fascism is really about promoting a revolutionary socialist alternative. Ableism. So if you're an able-bodied person, you're a threat. Heteronormativity. If you believe heterosexual relations are normal, you're a threat. Patriarchy. If you believe in male headship, you're a threat. Nationalism. If you love your country, you're a threat. Transphobia. If you have a problem with the transgender, LGBTQ plus transgender arena, you're a threat. Class rule, which they make up, of course, you're a threat. That's in the handbook, Antifa, the anti-fascist handbook. Nikita Oliver, who's a former mayoral candidate in Seattle, said this, "We need to align ourselves with the global struggle that acknowledges that the United States plays a role in racialized capitalism." Notice how they take these terms. "Racialized capitalism is built upon patriarchy, white supremacy, and classism." Patrice Cullors, who's a co-founder of Black Lives Matter, remember that, says this, "Trump not only needs to to not be in office in November, but he should resign now. Trump needs to be out of office. He is not fit for office. And so what we're going to push for is a move to get Trump out, while we are also going to continue to push and pressure Joe Biden around his policies and relationship to policing and criminalization. That's going to be important, but our goal is to get Trump out. Rose City Antifa, which was one of the first organized movements in recent times out of Seattle, says, quote, "As anti-fascists, we know that our fight is not just against organized fascism, but also against the capitalist state and the police that protect it. Another world is possible." Seattle anti-fascist says this, "This is the revolution. This is our time, and we will make no excuses for the terror." They themselves admit that they use terror as their function, while the mainstream media and academia and Hollywood and the left politicians say, well, they're just peaceful protests. The Youth Liberation Front of Antifa says this, "The only way to win a world without police, prisons, borders, etc., is to destroy the oppressive systems which we are currently caught in. We must continue the fight against the state, imperialism, capitalism, white supremacy, patriarchy, and so on, if we ever want to be free." A pamphlet that was distributed in the Capitol Hill Autonomy Zone, CHAZ, back when Antifa took over a portion of Seattle briefly, read this way. "The idea that the working class can control our own lives without states, governments, or borders is also called anarchism. But how do we get from our current capitalist society to a future anarchist communist one? In order to destroy the current order, there will need to be a revolution, a time of great upheaval." A poster in the Autonomous Zone said this, "Oh, you thought I just wanted to defund the police? This whole system needs to go." One of the leaders in CHAZ, the Autonomous Zone, said this, "Every single day that I show up here, I'm not here to peacefully protest. I'm here to disrupt until my demands are met. You cannot rebuild until you break it all the way down. Respond to the demands of the people or prepare to be met with any means necessary. By any means necessary, it's not a slogan or even a warning. I'm letting people know what's coming next." A group called the Revolutionary Abolitionist Movement says this, "Revolutionary greetings from the insurrection sweeping throughout the occupied territories of the so-called United States of America. As the history of this miserable nation repeats itself once again, what has become clearly evident is that black people have been and will continue to be the only revolutionary force that is capable of toppling the oppressive status quo." I'll point out to you when we look at Black Lives Matter that the black community is being used mercilessly in this matter. Quote, "Everywhere the pigs have lost their will to fight. Their eyes, which only yesterday were windows to empty hatred and contempt, now display stultifying self-doubt and cowardice." What are they saying? That they have the police are so shackled by the courts and the media that the police are terrified now to do anything. "For once, their behavior portrays their weakness as every step they take back is marked by hesitation. Together, if we keep pushing, this land of chattel slavery, indigenous genocide, and foreign imperial aggression can finally be wiped out so that it will only be remembered as one of the more ugly chapters in human history." Tomorrow, October the 12th, is what? Columbus Day. You know what? Nobody cares now. Banks are open. Somewhere in the country, they'll be celebrating Indigenous Peoples Day. But see, Columbus represents to these people the chattel slavery, indigenous genocide, foreign imperial aggression. Another Antifa radical from Maryland said, "This isn't protest, this is rebellion. When rebellion gets organized, we get revolution. We are seeing the beginnings of that, and it is glorious." From New York, talking about the flag, and I'm not going to read this, this, the language this person used, but here's what this person said about the flag. It is cloth with colors on it. It doesn't live or breathe and is nothing but a representation. Any black, Latina, or native person looking at that thing being respected should be offended at that flag that represents genocide, rape, slavery, and colonization. One social media platform called It's Going Down said this: looting is an effective means of wealth redistribution. I told you, looting is reparations. That's how they're saying it now. And then finally, in response to President Trump's announcement that he plans to designate Antifa as a terrorist group, here's what the Torch Antifa Network said. Antifa will be designating the United States of America as a terrorist organization. This is the people you're dealing with. There's a hatred. There's a vitriol. And by the way, they have been fed this. They've been taught this in colleges for years. We're going back to the 1930s when this agenda was launched in the United States. And now two or three generations of people have grown up drinking this poison, this toxin. But there is a gospel response to them. It's important. I have to remind myself, these 18 to 21-year-olds, by the way, that's the profile of a typical Antifa follower. It's male, 18 to 21, no job. 92% live with their parents. And so they've got plenty of time to riot. Did you not think it strange that days and weeks into months of these folks carrying on out in Portland and Seattle, they don't work? I appreciate what the governor of Florida has put into place. I would pray that our governor would too, and that every governor that has a backbone would. And that is that if you're caught rioting, burning, pillaging, and you're found to be employed by the government, you lose that job permanently. If you have government assistance, you lose all of that permanently. It needs to be taken away. They've got way too much time on their hands. There is a gospel response, however. We look, and it brings us to John 10. You see, in John 10, Jesus says some things about illegitimate entry versus legitimate entry. He says some things about the way of peace, real peace. You see, these Antifa thugs are crying out that there's no peace for them. They're oppressed. There's no peace for the oppressed people. Yet the gospel offers peace regardless of one's status. I read an article yesterday by a black woman in Christianity Today where she asserts that the entire structure of Christianity in this country is to protect white supremacy. It's appalling what's being said. But our gospel, no matter who has abused it, our gospel offers real, lasting peace and reconciliation. I want you to look with me at John 10, 1 to 10 for a few minutes here. First of all, there is a legitimate and an illegitimate path to peace. Jesus says to himself, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door," in other words, the legitimate path, "but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber." Now remember that, because he's going to come back to those terms in verse 10. So it's the legitimate path versus the illegitimate. "He who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep." So Jesus is saying here that he is the first one who enters by the legitimate way, and then he will change his metaphor here in chapter 10 and say that he himself is the door. So Jesus goes in first. He is the way, the truth, the life, and no one comes to the Father but by him. But he promises that all who come to him, all who come to the Father by him, will have a peace. He will give peace. Not like the world gives. The world's peace is not lasting. It's a false peace. It's like cotton candy. But Jesus offers a lasting peace because it's a peace with God. It's a reconciliation with God. And in that reconciliation with God, you're then enabled to be reconciled to fellow man who himself, herself, is reconciled to God. So Jesus sets forth this legitimate and illegitimate way to peace. There are many people offering illegitimate peace. Just surrender this, and you'll have peace. Just go along with this, there'll be peace. Just give in to the demands of Black Lives Matter. Let me tell you something, many pastors have sold their birthright to this. And they're going to be made to look like fools because they're buying into another gospel in the name of advancing the gospel. And it is no gospel, finally. I read yesterday, a pastor friend of mine was arguing about how abortion is not taken seriously enough, and that this one particular party, Democrat Party, refuses to even adopt in Congress the Born Alive Act. Dozens of times the Republicans have put forth in Congress a proposed legislation that should a child somehow manage to endure and survive an abortive attempt, that when that child is born alive, that the law says you must take care of the child. Dozens of times Republicans have put that act forward, and every time the majority, Democrat majority in Congress, has voted it down. They refuse to consider it. It is the party of bloodlust. It is the party of bloodthirst. And that is not political. So my friend was arguing about this, and the provost at one of our seminaries weighed in response and said, "You cannot say that that's what the Democrat Party is." It was appalling. There is a path that is legitimate, and there's an illegitimate path. Jesus says, if you don't enter his way on his terms, following him, you are a thief and a robber. The second thing you see is there's a proper and improper voice to heed. Look at verses 3 to 5. To him the gatekeeper opens. That is, the shepherd. The gatekeeper opens to the shepherd. The sheep hear his voice, the shepherd's voice. And he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. So he calls the sheep unto himself. He who is the legitimate entry to peace. And once they've come to him, he leads them in and out. Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me in the paths. He cares for us. No matter what storms may be brewing around us, we have the path of peace, resting in the Prince of Peace. Verse 4, when he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, because they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. I guess if one of my reasons for doing this series is I want you to recognize the voice. There is nothing of God, there is nothing of Jesus, there is nothing of Christianity in the voices of Antifa, cultural Marxism, critical race theory, intersectionality, Black Lives Matter, the LGBTQ+ movement, progressive feminism, Islam. That's my list. Be careful how you hear. Do not let anyone successfully call you a racist or a white supremacist. Tell them they are wrong and you absolutely reject their assertion, because you do not follow godless ideologies. You follow Jesus and his word and his will and his way. And he's the final say on this. A stranger they will not follow. They do not know the voice of strangers. That's what amazes me, is why people that I have respected previously seem to fawn all over some of these groups. Fawn all over this cause. I have a better offer for the black community than Black Lives Matter. And that is Jesus Christ, the crucified, risen Son of God. and Savior of sinners, regardless of skin color. Third, Jesus as the door to peace, verses 6 to 9. They say this figure of speech that he used previously, they didn't understand. And so he ramps it up here. So Jesus again said to them, truly, truly. Now, you know, the word in the King James, verily, verily, it's actually the Greek word, amen, amen. If you look at it, it could transliterate. It looks like amen, amen. What he's saying is, Bill Askell paraphrased, listen up, pay close attention to this. I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers. But the sheep did not listen to them. There have always been those offering peace. Jeremiah talked about it. Those who are saying peace, peace, when there is no peace. People have always offered a false path to peace. Islam. What do you know about Islam? Islam is the religion of what? Peace. Everyone will tell you that. And yet it is the most bloodthirsty worldview and ideology that has ever existed on earth. Jesus says, all before, but the sheep don't listen. I am the door. One of his I am sayings. Remind you in John's gospel that he has these I am sayings. And in the Greek, again, is tensified. It's the word ego I me. Ego for the I, and then I me, the verb for I am. So it's I am. And the sense is, I and I only am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. This is the way we need to offer. We need to say to any member of Antifa, if you can speak to them and they don't beat you bloody first, reach out and say, here is you, you're troubled. And perhaps legitimately so. Perhaps you have been, look, George and I were talking about this last week after church. I don't know what it's like to drive around like a black person and be pulled over by the police. I ache for some of the experiences some of these folks have. There's a legitimate concern. But the answers they're being offered will damn them to hell. I want to offer you life. I want to offer you peace in Jesus' name. I want to promise you that as a follower of Jesus Christ, and I offer Jesus to you, when you repent and believe in Christ, you are my brother. You are my sister. We will walk together in brotherly love. We will care for one another. We will watch over one another. We offer this to Antifa. And the devil hates the notion that they would be snatched from his grip, because he is using them to steal, kill, and destroy. And when he's finished with them, he will drag them down to hell. Finally, the choice of life or destruction. Verse 10. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. That is, I've just described to you Antifa. I've described to you what you've watched on your televisions, media feeds. The first opportunity, first excuse, let's take Molotov cocktails and burn down businesses. Let's take over police stations. Kill those who are in the way. Destroy everything we can destroy. A conservative's scheduled to speak at a college in California, then grab anything you can and start shattering glass everywhere on campus. Someone killed, a criminal killed by a policeman, then set the community on fire. Folks, recognize where this comes from, the pit of hell itself. There's nothing noble, there's nothing moral about it. It is driven, it is set on fire by hell itself. The thief, Jesus says, comes only to steal. Oh, you're grieving the death of a fellow who was wrongfully killed by a police officer? Then go break into a store and steal as much as you can out of it. Used to be called looting. Now it's called reparations. And in the West Coast, San Francisco DA said, before you arrest someone that's looting, you need to find out, do they really need the stuff? We're living in an insane culture. The two choices that I would present to Antifa are life or destruction. Dressing in all black, wearing a mask or a helmet to protect your identity so that you imagine that you are anonymous, does not make you anonymous to the judge of all the earth. He knows you. Some of those haunting words, when we studied through the book of Revelation, I pointed out to you in the letters to the seven churches, I know your deeds. We need to warn these people. They may get away from the police. They may foment mayhem and destruction and not get caught. But there is a day of reckoning. Josh sang about it. Between the space between and the reckoning. There is a day of reckoning coming. It's appointed unto us once to die, and after that, the judgment. We can bring the gospel of peace. Jesus says, I came. In contrast to the thief, I came that they might have life and have it abundantly. That requires you and me to do two things. To live the abundant life in Jesus Christ. To experience and manifest and demonstrate joy unspeakable and full of glory. Yes, it's tragic what's happening around us in our culture. Yes, it's tragic the people who are buying into it. But that should not and must not steal my joy or your joy. Folks need to see us with a joy in the Lord. Secondly, we need to offer and extend that. The joy that I have, the life that I know, it's because of Jesus Christ. And you may have that too. And offer eternal life in the name of Jesus. The gospel speaks to this, speaks clearly. May the Lord help us to know it, believe it, understand it, and express it to those who so desperately need to hear good news. Because they've been convinced that there is none where they live. Next week, God willing, we'll take a look at Black Lives Matter. One of the most tragic movements placed upon the black community, which has the effect of enslaving them once again. Let's pray. Dear Holy Father, you're the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ.